Am I on? Good? All right. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. I want to begin by reading from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be here this evening and to have this meeting. And Lord, it's our desire that as a church we would have your heart, that we would have your mind, and that we would be careful to fulfill the Great Commission and do those things that are most pleasing to you. And so we would ask that as we discuss these things and as we think together and as we talk together, that we would be directed by your Spirit and that we would make sure to follow your plan and your will for RBC. Please bless us, change us, cause us to accomplish your goals. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, just a quick reminder of our meeting rules. There is a rule. That is that non-members are free to observe but not contribute verbally in the meeting or by voting in this meeting. We're not planning a vote tonight unless one just springs out spontaneously, but I don't think we've got a vote that's going to happen tonight. But you must be a member to participate in the meeting. Okay, so first order, here we are halfway through the year. I don't know if any of you are feeling like what happened to this year, but it's like just kind of blitzing by. And so want to review our goals for this year. And as I was reflecting on these myself, I'm like, man, we had big appetites at the beginning of this year when we took these things on. It tends to be something we do. So we have five goals this year. And one of them was more of a goal just to keep ourselves, keep the main thing the main thing. And so with all the research we were doing on possibly moving to a different building, we just wanted to make sure that goal number one is, in the midst of our growth, maintain focus on the glory of God, the edification of the church, and the spread of the gospel. Because sometimes when churches get caught up in big projects like that, they can kind of take their eye off the prize. And so we just want to make sure that we don't do that this year. The second one is still meet the facility needs of the church. And as we were looking at, you know, one of the options would have been the First Baptist Church in downtown Kalamazoo, but we decided early this year that that was not going to be what we were going to do. But that did take up a considerable amount of time for the leadership and the body as we were kind of exploring that possibility. Finalize constitutional changes. There are still three, and two are kind of not super big, and one has to do with the way we observe communion, which is a more challenging one. But we were going to make every effort to finalize the constitutional changes by the end of this year. And then meet with all Pado Baptists attending non-members to study believers' baptism and discuss membership. So it's still, I know, is a concern for some folks that are not members yet. And so Alan and Josh and I have done an extensive study. Now we just need to kind of get that study ready to do with those non-members, and so hopefully answer some questions and make it easier for them to consider membership here. And then finally, goal number five, identify, review, and update all critical RBC documents. As is typical, as we enlarge and we start to try to become more organized, we have reports for this and that and a process manual. We get all these documents that we're creating, we kind of realized that we need to have a place to store them and keep them in a place that are accessible and safe. And so that is something that we want to make sure by the end of this year we do that. So those were the five goals that we're working on this year. And so I'm just going to sit down here and let Josh then fill in all the cracks with an elder report here.
Good evening, everyone. The other elders have asked me to give an update, a pastoral update, looking back to this previous 6 months and then what we have to look forward to this next year. And I do speak on behalf of all the elders when we say that we really do consider it a great privilege to serve here at Reformed Baptist Church. We'll often comment with one another about how amazing God is, that He's so kind as to place us in a church like this, to allow us to serve in this body of believers, such a wonderful body of believers. You know, thinking to that Hebrews passage, to serve with joy and not with groaning. And I think I speak on behalf of all of us that we do serve with joy and maybe a little bit of groaning from everyone. No, we're actually, it really is a joy. So as we look back to the last half of 2017, what can we be especially thankful for as a church? We're preparing to celebrate our 40th anniversary this coming September. And again, just a wonderful time to reflect on God's grace to us over the years. We had the privilege of seeing 11 people join the membership here at RBC, five of which were baptisms. We're going to, July 9th, we'll see another series of people come in, and we'll actually be doing baptisms as well. We've enjoyed getting to know new people. There's been an influx of visitors who've joined us in worshiping our Lord each Sunday as our church has continued to grow numerically. We're thankful for each person who assists to make RBC as hospitable as possible. We enjoyed spending a good bit of our year studying the life of Christ and the Gospel of John during our preaching times on Sundays, and we're so thankful for how God is using his word, changing the lives of many, many people here at RBC through his living and enduring word. We've seen the start of two Bible studies. Remember last year we had a goal of starting some Bible studies. This year we've actually seen the Braves Neighborhood Bible Study start up, and that's going really well. And then Pastor Don's Bible study with some of his coworkers. And we really do, and I encourage you guys to continue to pray that the Lord would increase opportunities to study his word in future Bible studies, whether at work, in our neighborhood, wherever the Lord sees fit. Tom and Becca Jones were sent to Thailand to minister alongside the Hearts at the language school there in Bangkok, and they were even able to witness the salvation of one of the students there. Look forward to hearing much more of how God used them when they give their report next Sunday evening. And then by way of update, the Buellers have returned from Papua New Guinea, and the elders are continuing to meet. We've met with the Buellers, and we are continuing to meet with them to help them get plugged back into the body life at RBC, and I think they're doing that as well. Where are the Buellers? There you guys are, yeah. And then if anybody has any questions, Ben and Rachel have encouraged anyone to feel free to ask them. Also, their final letter from March is downstairs on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall for people to read if you've not had a chance to read it already. But the reason we mention that is just to let you guys know that the elders actually supported their return, okay? Continue to pray for them. And then as we look ahead to the rest of 2017, what are some of our prayerful priorities? Here are some of the things that we can look forward to. Preaching goals for 2017. As the Lord wills, we'll continue our extended series on the minor prophets through the summer months. We'll finish Hosea and possibly study other books like Habakkuk, Micah, Malachi, just to name a few. In October, in celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, what we want to do is we want to take a month-long break and have a five-week series on the solas of the Reformation. Lord saw fit to give us in October 2017 of five Sundays. And so we are going to look at each one of the solas. And we're excited to see how the Lord continues to use the pulpit ministry for encouraging, exhorting, rebuking, training the body of RBC. Spiritual growth as a body. Later this summer, we hope to launch a discipleship teaching in our care groups. This is an area where we really do feel that this body is gifted. Many of you are involved in discipleship relationships, yet we also feel that this is an area where we want to continue to grow as a body as we carry out the Great Commission. changes to the worship service. We plan to make some adjustments to the way we begin our Sunday morning. Don's mentioned that probably for the last month. At the present time, the auditorium is filled with a lot of conversation right up until we have announcements at 10:30. I think most of the leadership agrees that the announcements, while they are often helpful, they're also somewhat redundant. They take up some of our precious time, and they cause our minds to wander from what we actually want to do, which is to go corporately into the presence of God for worship. So we want to be more intentional about preparing our hearts for worship by slightly adjusting our schedule on Sunday mornings, by eliminating the announcements, and then giving some time before the service to meditate and prepare ourselves for worship. And that's coming soon. The elders and the deacons still need to fine-tune some of those things as to when they're going to happen, but they will happen soon. Discerning the needs in the body. We know that in this life, right, Christ says we will have trouble, so we want to always be looking for ways to, looking for those who are hurting, seeking to carry and to care for people's burdens. RBC is not immune to suffering and has even been through seasons of pain in recent years, but we remind one another that we can take heart because Christ has overcome the world. So I encourage you prayerfully, look for ways to stir up one another to press on toward the prize of Christ. Also, a new location for RBC. We actually, and it sounds interesting to say this, we praise the Lord for his clear leading through the process of evaluating whether we should accept First Baptist's gift of their building. And while initially it was an exciting possibility, it actually became pretty clear for us that the Lord has us here for now. But please pray for wisdom and discernment as the elders and deacons continue to search for a new place. One of the yearly goals, as Don mentioned, at the beginning of the year was that in the midst of our growth, that we maintain focus on the glory of God, the edification of the church, and the spread of the gospel. And so we just want you to know that the elders are still committed to that. Leadership development. As our church continues to grow, there's strategic importance on the part of the elders to continue to grow the RBC leadership team. As a result, we're planning on teaching an eldership class in the coming months, which will focus on character, conviction, competency. And again, we ask you, please pray that the Lord will continue to raise up men here at RBC to lead, and that the leadership will continue to grow in spiritual maturity and even ministry skills. We're also committed to helping develop the next generation of leaders through our internship ministry. Some of these men may indeed become elders at RBC in the future. Others may be sent to serve in other churches, do church planting, or even minister in cross-cultural settings. And then last one, just general health and direction of the church. As previously stated, we are really encouraged with the overall health of the church. Regardless of the other things that are happening within the body of Christ, we really do want our primary goal to be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So as your leaders, we are sobered with the reality that we need to personally model a growing love and likeness to Jesus Christ. We appreciate so much those of you who pray and lovingly hold us accountable in this awesome responsibility. Thanks, guys.
We'll wait just a second for those guys to hand that out. Oh, tall people here first. Don, I'll lower this. As they're handing those out, we're going to start right on the front page and work our way through. Kind of a short update tonight, but we do have a couple things to talk about on the financial side. These charts, again, on the front are charts that the deacons and the elders use on a monthly basis just to kind of see where we are financially and monitor the financial health of the church. There's more to this chart, but some of that chart doesn't go out to this group here in regards to benevolence fund. Does not get published here, but just wanted to run through this with you. We're going to start at the top of page one and just run over what the columns are. The first column is the dollar amount of the offerings that we've received. Everything on here on this chart is the balance at the end of the month. So when we look at May there, $101,894, through the end of May, the last day, that is what we've received this year in offerings. Offering budget and budget are simply our budget of $268,000 divided by 12, and it just adds up by the month. We know our income doesn't come in evenly and our expenses don't go out evenly, but that's just a straight 12-month split. It gives us kind of a guide to watch. Then our spend column is what we have actually spent, and that is budgeted expenses. Checking is checking balance. Savings is savings balance. Those figures, again, on the last day of the month, that was the balance in those accounts, and you add them up together to get the total. So just a couple of quick comments on that first chart. You'll see that we've received $101,894, and we've spent $92. You can see evenly our budget would be to have received $111, so you can see we're maybe just a little bit behind. We'll talk about that more in a minute. Our spend is $92. We're about $9,000. We spent $9,000 less than what we've taken in, but that's going to change shortly. Harp's ear is just about to reset, and we're going to be cutting a check to them for their annual support amount. And then there's some other things happening that are going to make that number jump. So it's going to change pretty soon. We're going to actually end up having spent more than we've received probably shortly. But that's okay. We'll look at the next chart here. It's called offering summary. You'll notice it's by year. You see 2014, 15, 16, 17. It just gives the deacons a comparator to kind of see, hey, where were we the last couple of years at this point in the year? Are we good? Is something really off? Do we need to be concerned? Looking at May, if you look at May and you look right across, you see 2014 at this point, we had 38% of budget, then 42 the next year, 42 the next year, and we slipped back to 38. So at this point, we're 4 points back from last year as far as percentage of budgeted income that we've received to date. And we're actually back a couple thousand. If you look at it straight from a dollar standpoint, May 2017, $101,894, whereas last year we were at $103,169. So we slipped just a little bit behind last year, which $2,000 is not the worry zone. But we knew when we budgeted this year, we budgeted it pretty tight. And we thought we were going to be kind of walking right on the line, and that's really what we've been doing. So flipping over to the back, I don't have very specific things to tell you about the budget. This is just for your reference. This was our approved 2017 budget. A couple of comments. All of our spending really is going right according to our budget. There's nothing crazy to talk about that's gone beyond this. Again, if anybody wants to know how much we spent on kitchen supplies, you're welcome to come see me. We can open QuickBooks and find that information. So we're always open for any financial questions of any kind. We'll answer everything we can specifically, but don't want to bore you with the particulars. The one big thing that has changed against the spend on this budget is that the Buellers have come back here to the States, and so that spending has stopped. It stopped earlier in the year, so those funds are not going out at this time. And so that also helps us with our spending, why we're spending below budget, because those funds have not gone out. Another spending that's going to be coming up soon, we have in our budget some funds for upgrading the sound system downstairs. I don't know if all of you realize fully, but there's a good crowd down there every Sunday, and we're doing it with one little speaker, and it doesn't sound that good. And so we realize we're in this building for a little while, and we want to spend a little money to make it bearable. Downstairs with some better sound and some satellite speakers in the nursery and by the back door so that the security person by the back door can hear and see what's going on and the people in the nursery can hear and see what's going on as well. Just a little bit of investment as we realize we're going to be here a little longer. Let's try to use every possible part of this building without going crazy on the funds. And so that expense, we budgeted $12,000 here. None of that, I'm sorry, maybe $1,500 of that has gone out this year, which was these choir mics. So we've got some spending coming up. And before we jump to the NESP, let me stop. I mean, any questions on that so far? We're going to talk about the building fund and about HARPS coming up, but any other questions on what I've said so far? Okay, let's talk about HARPS because it's related to the budget. I want to clarify, and I've got my list here to make sure I stay on track and don't forget anything important. I want to clarify some things that I said at the business meeting in December that maybe could have been misinterpreted. The HARPS budgeted amount in our budget is 21% of their budgeted need. That's the budgeted part of the support that RBC gives them. There's what we call the off-budget support, too, which is many of you in this room giving money to the harps in the forms of cash or checks that come into the deacons, and it says, you know, give this to the harps. And that doesn't fall under the budgeted part of harps. And that is more than 30% of their income, the off-budget. So if you add up the budgeted amount for harps and the off-budget contribution from RBC members for harps, it's more than 55% of their need, which I think is extremely, extremely exciting. And when we met in December last year to do the budget, we had just seen a great email from harps saying, we're 100% funded through May of 17. And we rejoiced in that fact. And what we should have pointed out was that 100% support for them through May, that doesn't just trickle into the next year. And so they've been supported till now, but now we're up to the new year, and they're not 100% supported. In fact, what may have happened is that you heard they're 100% supported and thought there's not a need. But what's happened is in the first 5 months of the year, we've had close to zero giving designated to them off budget. And that is actually more than the budgeted amount, and that's really important. So we wanted to let everybody know that the need is there. HARP's year goes from summer to summer, and our church budget goes from January 1 to January 1. And so as we work on the budget for next year, we'll work with them on that. But their year just is resetting right now, and there's a need there for the off-budgeted funds for this year. And we want to make everybody aware of that. The deacons have plans already. To remedy that, you can expect a special offering coming up soon to help with that shortfall. You don't have to wait for that special offering to help support them. Many of you have done that in the past, and we're sure you will in the future. And then it's possible that we could be reallocating some missions funds. We're not ready to vote on that yet tonight. The deacons need to talk about that. But we've got some mission monies that we may redirect to them as well. So the deacons are committed to 100% support for the harps in their ministry, and that happens some different ways, the budgeted, the off-budget, the special offerings, and then any kind of voting we have to do to make up funds. If we have to take it out of savings, we'll bring that to you for a vote. We're committed to them being supported 100%. But we want to let you know that the need is there. You may have seen that in the email in the last couple of weeks, but sometimes you just have to say to the family, hey, family, the need is there, and that's what we're saying tonight. Okay, and any questions on that before I move to the building fund? Okay, building fund. You may have heard us talking about this. I'm going to read my paragraph here. The leadership at RBC is keenly aware of the limitations imposed by our current building size and the growth we have experienced in the last few years. We recognize that in the near future we would like to move to a larger facility. To prepare for that eventuality, the deacons are creating the RBCK building fund. And here's some details about it. First of all, the building fund will be a separate account, and it will be for designated offerings will be deposited into that account. And this is really, really important. If you want to give money to the building fund, please do a separate check. Don't like write a check and say, hey, split this with the building fund and the other, because it makes it really hard for the deacons to do that deposit correctly and track those funds. So we ask that you would do it separately. Number two, the building fund's likely use will be for the purchase of a used building or the building of a new building. We don't know at this time. And these funds may only be used with congregational approval, simple majority. Number three, on a quarterly basis, general fund cash above $67,000 will be swept into the building fund. That would be the combination of our checking and savings account, the numbers you see on that report. We kind of monitor that. It moves a little bit like all of our checking accounts. You get a deposit, it goes up, and you pay some expenses, and it goes down. But we'll watch the average of that and keep that at that level. Kind of goes with number four. The deacons will keep track of all general funds that have been swept into the building fund. So those extra monies that we sweep in there that are above the $67,000, we'll keep track of what we sweep in there, and we're going to have the ability to pull them back to the general fund to maintain a minimum general fund balance of $67,000 this year. That's basically 25% of the approved annual budget. It's basically our emergency fund. We're saying we're going to keep 25% of our annual budget in cash in the checking and savings account, so we have it right now. Everything else we're going to sweep into this building fund. And number five addresses where that's going to go, which is the fund will be invested in liquid upon short notice money market CDs, conservative short-term bond fund or some combination at the deacon's discretion. So right now we've got $260,000 sitting in an account getting nothing. Not that CDs are great right now, but we might as well be getting a percent or two. So it's partly investment income, and it's really about saying, we know this need is coming. Let's take these funds and move them here. Let's hold them for that, designate them for that. And honestly, I believe the Lord will bless us, he has in the future at every step, to say, here's a fund that we can give to. And I believe people will give to that beyond just, hey, the church is doing good against the budget, so I probably don't need to give because we seem to be doing okay, versus wouldn't it be fantastic to have some more funds in this building fund as we look for what the Lord may do with us on the building side as all these little kids around here grow up, get married, have families, thinking, you know, 5-10 years from now how fast it goes. We need the room now, and time's going to go. So we want to be diligent in what we're doing with the funds we currently have and the funds we hope to bring in toward the buildings. Questions on this? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. What it is, it's so that if we would run into a financial crisis, we're going to keep track of the money that was swept in there, not given separately and designated for a building. It lets us make some kind of percent on that money instead of having $250,000 sitting there. Our goal as a deacon and elder board is to get into a bigger space. And unless you start saving for that, that's going to be hard to do. So we're going to sweep it, and our goal is to keep it there. If something happens, we have a financial issue come up, or maybe we decide we need to invest some more money in this building a couple years from now for some reason, and we need to take a little bit of that money back out that we swept to meet the budget for that year, that would be available. The sweeping, keeping track of the sweeping is more about protecting the designated funds. We want everybody to understand that we're going to have in that account, we will know what has been given that is designated for the building. And then we're going to have the other monies that we swept that may move in out a little to keep that balance. But we're protecting the funds that people donate that say this is for a building. Those funds that have been designated as building only can only be used by congregational approval and vote. And it would have to be something pretty catastrophic to start getting into building funds if we needed them to survive. Then we wouldn't be talking about a new building anyway. Did I answer that? Exactly. That's right. I don't know if y'all heard them. Only cash swept in as overage is able to be pulled back out by the deacons without congregational approval. And our intent is to only do that if we have a financial crisis to do that. So we're wanting to really start with intention saving money for a bigger space. More questions? Okay, go ahead.
If I remember right, in December when you talked about the general budget structure, you were actually planning a negative budget at that time, correct? You were anticipating some use of saved monies for some of the projects.
Yeah, we were really close. Usually in the past, we've come to you with a budget. Mike was asking, did we budget a little bit of a negative budget this year on purpose, thinking we might have to use a little bit of savings? And usually we bring you a pretty conservative budget. And this past year, we brought you a budget that was pretty even. And we thought, depending on giving and some things that were happening, we thought we might be dipping into savings a little bit this year. And with my comments earlier about the budget, looking where we are with spending, that also might be the case a little bit. We'll have to see what happens toward the end of the year. It's anticipated, but we're going to try to save as much as we can toward the building, realizing we need to keep a 25% there in case something happens to the property or building, or decide we want to fund something. If we want to, again, do something to the building, we'll put it in the budget for next year So we're not planning on just spending money on something that's going to come to you in the form of a budget like it always does. And these rules apply to the budget for next year as well. Okay, always available for questions. You don't have to wait for these meetings for me to get up here and ask questions. Call me, email me anytime. Always happy to answer financial questions or building questions or anything like that at any time from anybody. And, of course, the books are open. If you need to see expenses, we'd be happy to show you. Thanks.
Security update might be the first security update I think we've had. As this body does continue to grow, we're aware of the many changes that need to be made in the way we do things around here. Security is one of those things that we're working through. We have a designated team of 9 members who have taken part in several security meetings already, one in which we met and worked through policy and procedure, how we've done things in the past, and what changes need to be made as we move forward. An additional 2 meetings were led by Sergeant Mike White from the Kalamazoo Sheriff's Department. He worked through different crisis scenarios with us and performed a building audit of our church. He identified anything that might stand out as an area of concern for any of us. And we were bouncing questions off him. What about this? What about, you know, a lot of different things, a lot of different facets going on there. From these meetings, we agreed that we need to start at least with a hall monitor, if you will, at the T by the lower back door. You may have seen myself there or one of the other men. And this person will welcome folks as they enter our building, as well as give directions to visitors concerning where the classrooms are, the bathrooms, the stairs to the sanctuary, and so on. There'll be the eyes and ears down there, watching who's coming and going through that back door, because that's really the entrance exit point once the service starts, because these doors are even locked after the service, but there are men, Cy and Andy or whoever, to open these doors for people coming in. It's adding an extra level of accountability and protection, especially concerning the children in the adjacent rooms right there. There are many other safety policies that we're working through as well, such as a gas leak or a fire. How do we safely clear the building? Who's the last one out? How do we sound the all clear? And so on. There are so many new facets as we continue to grow dealing with safety that we're just trying to wrap our minds around this and drafting a security policy even now and improving that. If you have any questions about any of these processes, please feel free to contact me. I'll probably be back at the tee downstairs when you come in next Sunday. And we'll do our best to give regular updates as we work through these policies as our congregation grows. So any general questions about that? Yeah. We're working through the different qualifications for that position down there. I know we have a greeter position, and that person is usually in with the people worshiping in the overflow area downstairs. But that position is more designated as somebody who's not in charge of a little one, who needs to be a member, needs to be aware of the general family dynamic, whose kids belong to who, and wait a minute, somebody's going out with somebody else's kid in the middle of the service. So I have, I think, 5 men total, including myself, but I'm interested in anyone else who's willing, but that means either during the Sunday school hour or the worship hour, sitting there, not running and doing errands for somebody or anything like that, just so that there's some accountability there. So. Right. No, and I have been. There have been several other men that have stepped in so that I'm not, because I can hear the sermon. It feels a little awkward singing by myself out there, you know. I have William with me, and who doesn't sing? So, but no, I do appreciate that. And that's necessary, and I realize that too, that it won't be ostracizing someone out there. So, yeah. Anything else? Okay, thanks.
Okay, well, when we had the opportunity at First Baptist, Steve was kind of the point person to receive everyone's comments, if you remember. And through that, we kind of realized that we didn't really know what people's opinions were about buildings and that kind of stuff. So I volunteered to create a survey, basically, that we can... that I can send out, and then you can comment on it or choose. There's basically a bunch of categories. I have it up here. Let me see if I can do this. Yeah, there we go. Basically, I just took a lot of the feedback Steve collected from the First Baptist building, and then put it into a bunch of different topics, and then have a little rating scale of 1 to 5. You know, if you think that such and such is not important or very important. And so some of them are really, really general. So, you know, please forgive me for that. But I'm going to probably send this out in the next couple of days. And if as many people as possible can fill it out, then it'll give us some information about what people would want in a new building, what they care about, what they don't care about, just so that we're not, you know, as we're looking at possibly in the future, maybe looking at used buildings or maybe even thinking about a new building, we have some information to go on besides just our own thoughts and such. So anyway, I'll send that out. There's a little spot for comments underneath everything or every category or topic or whatever. And so if you have additional information or additional thoughts, you can throw those in there, and then we can at least collect all those. So I meant to get this out a lot earlier, like closer to when the whole First Baptist thing was going on, but it is what it is. And now I'll send it out, and please fill it out. Everybody loves surveys. So you know, there's no prizes that you win. There's no gift cards that you get. You just, but please do it. Yeah, no. Yeah. So any questions on that? And if you have any questions on it when I send it out, just let me know if anything is unclear or whatever. So, cool. Thank you.
Just a few more agenda items here this evening. First one, changes in membership. As Josh already reported, we had 11 new members so far this year. And so just to give you the name so you can kind of remember who they were, Curtis, Angela, Xavier, Imani, Joy, and Esteban Gray, Matt and Casey Niger, Cheryl Robinson, Jonathan and Sarah Fida, and we did not remove anybody in the first 5 months of this year. So... it's exciting to see that we maybe are going to be adding more members here coming up shortly in July. An update on the reviewed officers. So Josh and Alan were reviewed, and both were recommended to continue in their office. Aren't we glad about that? All right, and so we don't have other reports tonight. You know, there is a Women's Ministry Facebook page, and I think that there are some things happening there, so that if you're interested in that ministry and participating in things, I think there's an active Facebook page there that posts things that are happening. So I'm going to open it up to Q&A, just so that anything that's on your mind or heart that you want to ask, you can do that, and we'll do our best to answer those questions. And I just have one myself, so I'll kick it off. So anyone here in the room that would like to give regularly to HARPS and do it through the church here, how do they make their checks out? So do they just make it out to RBC and then put HARPS? I don't think that you do that, right? You don't put HARPS in the... just a sticky note, and you just make it out to RBC, though, with a sticky note. All right? Any questions on that? All right, very good. Anyone else have any questions tonight? Yes. Aaron, you want to speak to that? You're nodding yes, so I don't know. And I would think that any of the prayer requests that that people have said that they're willing to have them shared to the body, then certainly. Sometimes we get prayer requests, obviously, that are more private, but it seems like we do it. And as long as Aaron says we can do it, then we can probably do it. So where would you would just create a separate section for that, for prayer requests? Is that what you would do? Okay. All right, excellent. Who else? Yes.
This isn't a question, this is a concern. I didn't think about it. It's just that when we're small and everybody knows the routine, it's one thing, but like the lady next to me was very confused about what to do when we're offering today. Mm. Because we have so many new people, I'd like to encourage us to know about the need to know how she was supposed to know what she was supposed to do with the money. And so when that was
good point. Yes.
And I guess related to that discussion about prior to the service, you know, announcements and all that stuff, having a screen would be possible to include that kind of general information, like the offerings are received in the box up here, you know, and pertinent announcements that would be out there as part of the bulletin, just cycling through the screen for that 10 minutes, whatever, before the service starts.
Mm-hmm. And even with that flashing, we're still going to keep a bulletin, a printed bulletin, right? We're still going to hand those out. So you could put a permanent little instruction thing blip in there that if you, because it's not in the bulletin now, is it? I don't think there is. So you could have kind of a permanent little spot in there if you want to offering. There's a white box. And we could put a lighted arrow that's kind of doing this. So. Certainly with that, we elders that do the table could be a little bit more clear about what that offering is taken for. Yep. So that's good. I do like the fact that, you know, we've not ever made any announcements about offering or whatever, and we seem like we always have enough every year somehow. We always have enough. Yes, Diana. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so why don't at our next leadership meeting, let's just kind of conclude on that together, elders and deacons, as to how we, if we feel we need to do some messaging around that. And it could just be a bulletin thing. It could be a slide up on the board. Yep. But I really do like Jim's point about them kind of coming and saying, how do you do this, which allows for a conversation, which is good. So let's make sure that's on a leadership agenda. Yep. I know that I've tried to do it, but I don't know that I've been consistent with it, and I can't remember if we've always been consistent. So it's a good tap on the shoulder. Thing to, with the benevolence for sure.
Since we don't talk about it, we can let everyone know that we're actually going to have an offering box in the back here. If not next week, then the following week. So that's something to be aware of, since we don't necessarily mention it. We're actually going to have a box in the back, which is half visitor box, but then also an offering box.
And since we're in a building fund campaign, we're going to scatter boxes everywhere. Right by the back door as you're leaving. So, Jeff, you had your hand up. Right. So I do think the men should give it a little bit more thought and come up with the right answer here. Si.
Yeah, this is more of an open thought really than a question. But I noticed the survey form that Aaron put together. Mm-hmm.
I think that's part of doing the survey is we're trying to get a sense of what all of you are seeing in Sunday school needs, in worship sanctuary, in office space, and just really trying to, because we see certain things, but we almost certainly miss some of the details, and I do that regularly. So I think, Sai, to your point, we had some projections when we were talking about building a building, and I think we had figured a sanctuary size of, Steve, do you remember, about 500 or? Yeah. And the prioritizing of some of those things is like, how important do you see some of these things that are on the list? Because not all things are as important as other things. So does that help, Si? Or did you have any? Or?
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking, you know, within the leadership group, you know, you mm-hmm. know those things already as far as possible number of people. Mm-hmm.
I think that our projections, now I don't know that we, I don't remember that we had details out on Sunday school rooms and counts. Our sanctuary, we did, I think, figure up to like 500 is what we were planning. Is that right, Jeff? You would know more of the details just to help Cy right now, I think. Right. Right. Yes, Mike. And actually, we are kind of keeping track of attendance. So Ben and Rachel are kind of have a little pad that they're keeping track. And part of that was to actually keep track of the headcount and the new people coming in that start to become regular so that we don't lose them and we kind of figure out how to incorporate them in. But the other part of it is also to make sure that as we get bigger, it's easier to miss that somebody's been absent for 2 or 3 weeks. And so we're trying to, that's a big problem when the church gets bigger is that you can lose track of people. So we are keeping attendance so that if somebody's missed 3 weeks in a row, somebody's reaching out to find out what's going on. That help? Okay. Good way to look at it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's I'll add to what Jeff said, because, you know, we've talked pretty heavily with Larry McCall and their elders from Christ Covenant Church. And I'll screw up the details, but when they started thinking about building a bigger church, when they had the need, they started to plan for the facility, but they also started a fund to start to collect the money for it. And it's, from what I remember Larry saying, is it's kind of like when they got to the place where they had the plans and everything else, the money was there too. And it just kind of, so they didn't have to borrow any money to build the building. So I'm just trusting that, you know, the Lord knows what he wants to put us in, and I think that he'll start to provide by having the fund available and start to put the money away, and then hopefully just the right thing is going to show up. But I think we can all keep our ears to the ground, because sometimes through your interaction with other believers in the area, you may hear that a church is thinking about, you know, moving, scaling up or down, and it's good to kind of get in there first and before it goes on the market. Okay, so come on, guys, pony up. Let's go. The Lord can move mountains. So, all right. So that's good to know. And thanks for all that dialogue. And just keep it coming. And also, be gracious with the leaders too as they set up this fund, because there are some technical aspects that it has to be set up properly for tax purposes and everything else. So as they work to make what Steve said happen, they're going to have to kind of make sure it's set up right and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And I encourage, too, because you have been out of the flow of things. And there's been a lot of dialogue that's involved a lot of church members in this. And so it's with all of that dialogue that these decisions are being made. And so the other thing is that, yeah. Yeah, and the other thing, too, funds are always kind of a touchy thing. So any monies that are given into the general fund are monies that are put there for the deacons to manage. And if the deacons choose to take some of the general fund and allocate it towards building stuff, well, they're going to propose that, and the church will vote on that budget. And so they will approve the expenditures of those monies in the general fund based upon the deacon's proposal. So we've never done designated funds before, and so we're kind of going into new territory. And it's a little dangerous territory, because then you can sometimes see people saying, well, I gave my money here, and you're not allowed to do anything else with it. And so it's almost like they start to manage the funds in the church and take it out of the hands of the deacons and the elders to do that. So it is a little, we're going into some challenging territory. But we're hoping that this is a very temporary thing. This is just something to try to raise some funds where it would be, you know, even if we were going to start a plant, because we've been thinking about that as well, Scott. So even if we were going to try to take and divide this body up and say, okay, plant a church elsewhere, that's going to take funding to do that. And it's because that church would need to be supported by this church to get off the ground, and there would be another facility there with extra expenses there to get a church like that off the ground. And so it's very complicated, and your challenge is welcome, because by all means, any challenge is welcome on any decision that we're making. So. And hopefully, you know, as you're here for a bit, you know, you can engage as much as you feel you need to make sure your voice is heard, because your thoughts are very important, and so we will consider them all, okay, as well as all of your thoughts on this. That's why Aaron's getting a survey out, but we are wide open to trying to understand what the Lord is telling us to do. We do know one thing: we are busting at the seams, and so we are going to have to do something. All right. Because it gets to safety factors, and we're just cramming the kids in these little rooms, and there's, you know, we got some issues with that we're faced. We're not desperate yet, but they're growing issues. Anything else that anybody has? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, you know how to kind of reach out and make sure that your views are kind of got brought into the leadership team, because you can reach out to any deacon. You've got one right next to you. Yeah. But anyway, so Scott, by all means, don't feel shut down, because we're in receiving mode of all input, and yours is as valid as anyone's here. So, yes. Pam. So, we wouldn't be abandoning this building. We'd be selling this building to use the proceeds for whatever else we're going to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this... Yeah, this is the first time that we as a church have ever had an issue this big to have to resolve together. And the issue is very complicated. It's not one of those quickie things that you just decide and you go put up a retaining wall. It's not one of those kind of issues. And so, we've had issues like the parking lot, the furnace, some of these kinds of things, but those are very minor compared to what we're getting into right now. And so for us to make sure that we stay unified, that we really don't just do something real quickly, but really consider and seek the Lord's direction in this. And I know that the leadership here is being very slow and very careful to try to discern what the Lord's will is. And if there was an opportunity for a church plant in Battle Creek and we had people that were saying they're feeling very led to do that, and a third of the people were going to say, we're off, we want to do that, and we were saying, whoa, looks like the Lord is moving us in that direction, then I think we'd be very open to that. So keep the thoughts coming. Maybe not right now, because I don't know if anybody's feeling pressure to kind of move on, but because it's 7:15, does anybody feel there's something you're really on your mind or heart? Go ahead.
I really appreciate leadership's openness and humility and accepting the congregation's what messages will work perhaps, but I also, my prayer is that the leadership team especially will be most attuned to the Lord's leading and will consider the request of the congregation. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And my prayer is that we would be happy meeting in a pole barn or in a beautiful sanctuary, that it won't matter. We'll be worshiping the Lord together. And that I'm confident the Lord will guide and direct the leadership team. And my prayer is that we'll be able to have open hands.
A pole barn might be affordable, Steve. All right. Well, thank you all that. And I don't want to ever... Certainly the elders and deacons would never want anybody in this room to ever feel like you're getting bulldozed anywhere. So just come to us anytime. Okay? Any last questions about anything? If not, I'm going to have Gabe close us in prayer. So go ahead, Gabe.
To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. And Father, we know that wisdom and understanding will come from you. We would ask that your spirit would move among us, and that as we work through these different issues that we have, as our body grows, as we raise children, as we look to welcome visitors, as we look to pursue you, and being changed to be more like Christ every day, we ask that we would gain wisdom and understanding from you, and the discernment and the choices that we make, and seek counsel from one another, hold one another accountable, and that your word would be our guide. Father, we ask that this week you would give us boldness as you lay opportunities in front of us, that we would preach your word, that we would reach out to those who are lost, and that we would not be ashamed of the gospel. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you all, as always, for coming out and doing the business of the church. Thank you so much.